Welcome to another JPR Live Session. We get to have conversations with artists we admire and witness one-of-a-kind in-studio performances. I'm your host, Danielle Kelly. This live session is sponsored by the Talent Club in Talent, Oregon. Show calendar and tickets at talentclublive.com. Joining me today in the Steve Nelson Performance Studio in Southern Oregon University's Jefferson Public Radio is folk singer-songwriter royalty and founding member of the Vancouver British Columbian band The Be Good Tanyas. It's Jolie Holland. Jolie's out on tour in support of her latest solo album, Haunted Mountain, released early October 2023. Welcome, Jolie. Thank you so much for taking time off of your Pacific Northwest tour to be with us today.
Thank you so much for having us.
And you brought a friend in the studio. Who'd you bring with you today?
This is the great Max Naus, song, guitar, and vocals as well.
Excellent. You've got a string of Pacific Northwest tour shows, and it looks like you're jumping across the pond shortly for a UK tour. Max, are you joining on the road in Europe?
I will not be joining the European leg.
Cool. Who you've got meeting up with you over there?
It's a cute situation. It's like two satellite musician figures, Mark Mikowski of the Lost Brothers and Mike Kirkendall, who played bass with Emward for a long time. And both of them are just brilliant songwriters and performers and multi-instrumentalists on their own right. And then Anders Petersen, who's amazing, and he's Danish, and he what is his band?
Oh yeah, check out the DeSoto Caucus.
And he was in Giant Sand for 12 years, but I think he's playing more with his partner now.
How cool. How's tour so far? Any highlights from this leg?
I'm always excited about sleep. Because I'm a terrible sleeper, but it's been amazing. Like, I stayed with my friend Amelia Bennett Kennedy, who's a great photographer. She took all the photographs for that movie Sorry to Bother You, and her partner is Damian Gallegos, who's in The Coup. And Amelia is dear old friend, and she's a enrolled member of the Osage Nation.
Wow.
And then I stayed with the great Shauna Trumbly, who's like an awesome artist in Eugene. And we're just like, you know, I have some Choctaw family, and we ended up talking about Native stuff for a minute. And she's like, I am an enrolled Osage member. So this is like, that's a small nation. There's only 20,000 of them or something. And I ended up, you know, it's like the Osage hospitality tour.
Wow. And originally, Texas is your home state, is that right?
I'm from Houston, yeah.
From Houston, okay. Very cool. Houston, Vancouver for a little bit. Where's home now?
Los Angeles.
Okay, beautiful. Well, wow, it's so great to have you here, stopping along the way. We'd love to hear a song. What would you like to start with?
We're going to play a song called Me and My Dream.
I was too shy to ask you to take that trip with me. Standing in the kitchen, shaking like a leaf, but then like a dream, this coming true. You said it yourself, why don't I ride with you? White and Richards told us, if there's one thing you can't lose, it's that feel. Doug Song, Master Sterling, only to be real, and that's all I ask of you, is baby. be real. And that's all I ask of you is, baby, be real. Come and be my partner. Stay the sun and sea. I'm so glad I found you. I thought you were just a dream, but you were like a dream that's coming true.
That is Me and My Dreams, Jolie Holland and Max Naus here at Jefferson Public Radio in the Steve Nelson Performance Studio. Beautiful tune. That's from the new record. They're out on tour in support of Haunted Mountain out last October.
Yeah.
Wow. Gorgeous.
On the extremely non-auspicious day of October 6th.
Wow. Yes. Tell me about releasing an album, a folk album, ready to go off into the world and promote that publicly and that happening.
Oh, it's been extremely difficult to talk about it. Cause I mean, to talk about it on social media, it's like, you know, and I try to like highlight my friends who are doing great work, like my friend Rupa Maria, who is, you know, trying to organize medical associations to speak out against the bombing of hospitals and things like that.
To help listeners who maybe listen in the future, we're talking about Israel and the October of 2023. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's, and a lot of people don't mind talking, you know, just like really promoting whatever they're doing during this. And for me, it's really difficult. Like, I think of it as like yas queening myself at a time like this, and it's like I don't have an appetite for it.
Right. It's hard to compartmentalize sometimes, and
yeah,
can feel really conflicting.
And also, you know, I mean, as a journalist, you have a different set of like parameters for yourself, but like as an artist, like it's supposed to be my job to holler about stuff like this. So it is, yeah, it's like, it's not only is it hard to compartmentalize, but I don't have the storage units. Like I don't have the boxes, you know, because we don't keep them around, you know.
Sure. Did you have a string of shows or events planned for that as well? Around that time on the release?
There were some things that we did decide to cancel, but it was slightly unrelated as mm-hmm. well.
Yeah. Well, going back to your roots, growing up in Texas, maybe early life, early career, I read that you took on the role of tree planter.
Oh, no, that was Samantha Parton.
No, okay.
Yeah, that's cool. So my family is interesting. They're like, you know, I am as Texan as you can get. Like, I'm related to the first attorney general of Texas. I'm like, I'm related to two people who died at the Alamo, which was, in case you had the misfortune of being educated in the American system, was all about slavery, because they try to pretend that it's not. But, like, you know, I had to like grow up and get out of Texas before I really understood the facts of Texas history. And, then culturally, you know, Houston is incredible. Like, there's just so much music on the radio. There's like all kinds of incredible hip hop and like all this different regional music. It's like my family is Cajun as well. And then my great uncles played with Willie Nelson. They played with Bob Wills, which is a very Texan thing, like one of the inventors of Western swing. So I just grew up going to go see them play all the time when I was a kid, and it was a great, really deeply multicultural musical background.
Sure. Did you have a musical family as well? Were you musical then, or just sort of soaking up all those influences?
My dad played a little guitar. My dad, like, you know, so in my immediate family there was that, but then it was mostly like my grandparents' generation that was, you know, had the professionals, like,
oh, wow.
And they were really tight with Willie Nelson. They were like, they're identical twins, and they're older. They're like 10 years older than Willie Nelson. And I got to open up for Willie a couple times and mentioned that, you know, I'm their great niece, and he was like, "Oh, are they still with us?" And I was like, "Yes, they are. They're like, one of them made it to 99.
That's incredible." Well, I was trying to ask how you made it up to meeting up with the wonderful people that are the Be Good Tanyas, and how that transpired.
I was just hanging out in Vancouver, and I met Samantha, and she and I started the band. And she and I were the original two songwriters in the band. And Trish Klein wrote some great songs, but like they just felt like they were in such a different world that we were like, you need your own bands, which just felt like such a rude thing to do. But and then that was a trio for a year, and then Frazee Ford joined, and then we were a four-piece for 6 months after that. And I was like, I need to get back to the States. Like, it just it's such a different musical environment in Canada.
Yeah. I was a Be Good Tanyas are very informative for me for my coming out of high school years, and you know, finding my fascination with jazz and folk and blues and wanting to become a singer. And I wore out, was it 2003's Chinatown and the 2006 Hello Love? Oh my gosh. And some of those, that's when I kind of discovered, whoa, covers can be anything. Prince can be folk.
Yeah.
All these things. So cool. I couldn't, I hadn't heard the song. I was going to ask, with names like Samantha and Jolie and Trish and Frazee, where the name The Be Good Tanya's come from. And I heard legend it's from a song, which I couldn't track down. Can you tell me story?
Yeah. So I was friends with this really out of his mind street kid named Obo Martin, Martin McCrory. And like, I think I lived like half a block outside of Golden Gate Park in by St. Mary's Hospital. And I was just walking through the park one day, and there was this like guy in a tree in a fluorescent red shirt playing the guitar. And I was walking by with an instrument, and we ended up playing music together. And he just had a lot of great songs before he completely burned himself out. And one of them was this song called Be Good Tanya, that was like to his sister Tanya. And I just thought it was cool to like name a band after like an imaginary hit, like a hit that never was, you know? So yeah, that's how that happened. And my favorite mishearing of that song was my favorite mishearing of the band is the vegan omelets. Somebody really thought we said that.
Oh my gosh. Well, you then stepped away. You went back to the States. Mm-hmm. You know, what drove that, and what was that transition into a solo career like? And did you continue to play with them as well and do both things, or was it kind of a total transition?
Yeah, I was on all of their records, like, but just, you know, I would just show up as like a backup singer, or just like do a little bit on some other stuff. And I had already had all these great musicians that I was playing with in San Francisco, and I just went back to them and kept working.
Well, we've got a number of favorites in our library here at JPR that are your solo records. We've got The Springtime Can Kill Ya, the Jolie Holland, the Wildflower Blues with Samantha Parton was really cool too. You're out on tour now in support of the latest record called Haunted Mountain that we just talked about. Could we hear another song from the album?
Yeah, let's do Haunted Mountain.
Before I lived here on this haunted mountain, I was walking through the valley on my own. Darkness all around me, I looked to the sky and saw you raised all around in a golden cloud. All of my life I've been around her, traveling across this green land. But now that I live here on this haunted mountain, I know I'm never coming down. I know I'm never coming down. I know I'm never coming down again. Every dewdrop on this haunted mountain is like a tiny crystal ball. flying leaves, and I prophesy with the light of dawn. All of my life I've been around her. Traveling across this crying land. But now that I live here on this haunted mountain, I know I'm never coming down. I know I'm never coming down. I know I'm never coming down again. Haunted mountain. I saw a younger reflection in the falls. The river rose up around me. I was swept up in an eddy, drifted for a mile. All of my life I've been around her, traveling across this growing land. But now that I live here on this haunted mountain, I know I'm never coming down. I'm never coming down. I know I'm never coming down again.
That's Jolie Holland live at Jefferson Public Radio with the title track of the latest release, Haunted Mountain. Wow, that is so gorgeous. You told me that that album, that release, is related to Buck Meek, who is a member of Big Thief, right?
Yeah.
Can you explain the correlation? I know you guys were sort of writing partners. Can you tell me the connection?
Oh, yeah. Well, I met Buck before he put Big Thief together with Adrienne. Because he was just a fan, him and his family. His brother is also an incredible, incredible musician. Like, his brother is Dylan Meek, and he's like a new R&B shredder. Like, oh my God. Like, yeah. Like, super sick piano player. It's so fun just to, like, he had these kind of bar gigs in LA, and as you know, it was like, you know, a different style, but on par with, like, oh, I'm friends with James Booker, we're gonna go see him shred, you know, like, so fun. And a beautiful singer, Dylan Meek. Buck and Dylan were both nominated for Grammys at the same moment. Or excuse me, yeah, Grammys. I always mix up the Academy Awards and the Grammys. I live in LA.
And then there's Oscars, you know, can't keep it straight.
The little gramophone. Yeah, they were both nominated, and their dad, you know, their family got the call like 4 hours apart. that they're both of their sons, like in really different genres, were nominated at the same time. So rad. So, yeah, I met Buck like, because he took like a songwriting course with me. Like we just talked, we just like got together and like he saw that I was advertising like songwriting coaching and we just hung out a little bit and then we got to be friends. And like he was really broke at the time and he's just such a sweetheart. Like he was like, oh yeah, no, I'm broke, but he like helped me move. Like that's some like I know we're in the land of like the redneck hippies, but good old boy means something. Like sometimes like, you know, country people are like deeply awesome.
Moving's a big deal.
Yeah, moving sucks. And then I saw this amazing guitar player in Austin, Texas, Adam Brisbane, when he was like in his early 20s. And I was just there having a drink with my friend Laura Freeman, who's a great songwriter. And I was like, I got to tell the kid he's amazing. You know, it's like if you see somebody who's awesome, like you have to try to give them a real compliment. And I was like, I can tell that you love Mark Rebo. I hear it in your sound and you're objectively amazing. But I just want to say, like, I just want you to know who this compliment is coming from. Mark Rebo plays with me sometimes. So like, I just want you to know, like, I hear you. You're a little genius. I know you. And then like, he was like, oh, cool. You live in New York. I'm thinking about moving to New York. So he moved to New York. And I had a room open in my apartment. So he like moved into my place and we started playing together. And then I forgot about this, but they had to remind me that I introduced them because I love introducing people. So Adam is now in Buck's band and I can't afford him anymore.
And so you and Buck wrote a bunch of tunes together. You both released an album last year. Mm-hmm. They're both called Haunted Mountain.
Yeah.
It's confusing?
Hilarious.
It's hilarious. Can you untangle that for us?
Yeah. So Buck and I, you know, he liked to, we like to talk about songwriting, but like we never had written anything together until just before, you know, he recorded that stuff. So like a few months before he went into the studio, that record is so beautiful. His Haunted Mountain is so cool. It's like the most hi-fi thing he's ever done. And it's so great to hear something that's on that like sort of Wilco level of pristine studio sound. And yeah, I just love his band so much. Also Twain, Matt Davidson, was in the studio for that. I think maybe Matt produced, I can't remember. Maybe Matt produced the previous one. But anyway, I ended up co-writing 5 out of the 11 songs that he put on that record. And in the end, he was like, he had all these titles for the record, but everyone around him just kept calling it Haunted Mountain. And I think because it's like, it's a good title, right? Like it's kind of a rhyme and it just feels kind of iconic. And so everyone was calling it that. And then he was like, well, that was Jolie's song. Jolie named that. So he asked me permission. And he said, only if you're not naming your record Haunted Mountain.
Uh-oh.
And I was like, well, I am. And like, I couldn't even consider another title because it was like that for me too. It was just like, yeah, this is iconic. It feels really like the strongest. And we thought about it for like 2 hours and like, this is hilarious. Let's do this.
There's no rules. You guys can make it.
Exactly.
So are there songs that you co-wrote that also exist on your record and they're just different versions?
Only Haunted Mountain.
Only Haunted Mountain. That's such a cool connection. Speaking of iconic, I have to say, I think you have this iconic sounding voice. It's so distinct. Like for me, you've lived in my, you know, catalog of influences is like the Billie Holiday of folk. And I've always wondered I never imagined I'd get to meet you, but I wanted to know, like, who have your vocal influences been in sounds that have inspired, not that you've tried to sound like, because you definitely sound yourself, but who are your influences?
So I almost went to art school.
Visual arts.
Yeah. I was like, you know, in our high schools, I think we all remember, like, there was, like, always the person who was, like, the best artist or whatever. So I was just always that kind of shredder as a visual artist. And, I just always thought I was going to do that. And so my whole aesthetic training was in, you know, learning art history and just developing on that path. And I was going to go to the museum school in Boston and take my academics at Tufts. And then some ridiculous things happened that I won't go into. But like...
Okay, but just a little bit.
Oh, gosh. I have a really... as well as being a seventh generation Texan, I'm a fourth generation Jehovah's Witness, and I was kicked out of the house. Like, it's a really common story for people who grow up in fundamentalist backgrounds. Like, a lot of homeless kids are from fundamentalist families. So, I never got baptized. I was like, nope, not for me, you know. And so I didn't have a lot of family support. And I was a homeless teenager. Wow. So, yeah. So, and I just drifted around for like 5 years figuring things out. And
garnering lines like, I've always been a rounder.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, you know, I have a lot of great family, but like my immediate... family was very witnessy, and they cut people off, and that's so it's so destructive to families. So I just started playing music and got into that, and then, you know, I got my first record deal I started the Tanyas when I was like 23 or something like that. So like music just started happening really pretty quickly. And then I got my record deal in the States when I was 27. And then I just never went back to school. I just always thought I would, but I didn't. And, you know, coming from that kind of artistic thinking and training, you know, like when you were saying, you were talking about off before we started recording, you were talking about like, or maybe it was during, sorry, because we were having such a great conversation even before the tape started rolling. The idea that a cover can be different, right? Like, it just never occurred to me to do like a karaoke style recording of something, right? So my training as a visual artist was all about like originality, constantly seeking originality. And, you know, I loved people like John Cale, and as a musical artist, and like you hear my viola playing and you can totally hear like technical stuff that I learned from him. And like as a visual artist, like I loved Rothko and like all the weirdos, I don't know, whatever. So like I was just always interested in originality, so it never occurred to me to try to sound like somebody else. And I'm so dense that it took me a long time to be like, oh, other people are trying to sound like X, you know, other people are trying to sound like whatever. Like I was just trying to figure out something really fresh.
Success.
Thank you.
Wow. Well, the record's beautiful. Haunted Mountain, as auspicious as the release date was, October 6th. It's a gorgeous record. We're glad to have it in hand now. You've got a great line of shows ahead of you, a couple in the States here and then off to Europe. We wish you the best success. We'd love to hear one more song. We have time to wrap up with one more song from the album. What would you like to play?
Thank you so much.
What are you going to play?
Sorry. Yeah. Highway. This song is called Highway 72, and Buck sings it on my record. That's his only cameo on the record is singing on this. But joining us now is the great Max Naus.
I can't make out the way. Oh.
That is the one, the only Jolie Holland here at Jefferson Public Radio, singing Highway 72 from the new record, Haunted Mountain, joined by Max Krauss on vocals and guitar. Thank you so much for stopping by on tour. It's been really lovely to catch up with you.
Danielle, thank you so much for catching us.
Have a wonderful rest of your tour. Please don't be strangers next time you're passing through Southern Oregon, Northern California. Give us a holler. Love to catch up some more and hear what you got cooking. If you want to stay abreast of all things Jolie Holland, JolieHollandMusic.com is where you can find tour schedule. You can find merch. There's CDs, vinyls, tees, magnets, you name it at JolieHollandMusic.com. That's JolieHollandMusic.com. It's the same for socials. Follow Jolie on socials at Jolie Holland Music. Thanks so much.
I just want to add that it is a little tiny business, and I am not home to mail anything out, so the shop's closed till I get off tour. Thank you so much.
Be a great surprise to come home to. This session is engineered by John Griffin. It's been arranged by Dave Jackson as well. I'm your host, Danielle Kelly.
This JPR Live session is supported by The Talent Club. Cold drinks in a casual atmosphere with live music on the regular. In Talent on Talent Avenue. Upcoming show schedule is at talentclublive.com.
Open air will continue right after this.